الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Good morning. It's time for Understanding Islam, brought to you by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. All praise and all thanks are due to Almighty God, the Lord of all the worlds. I bear witness that there is only one God to be worshipped, the God who created the heavens and the earth, and the God whom no one has ever seen. And I bear witness that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, that he is the final messenger of God, and he is the seal of all the prophets, from Adam all the way down to Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. I greet the believing audience today with the greetings of peace, and this is the greeting that we hope to receive after this life on the Day of Judgment. The greetings which means, may peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuhu. May the peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty God be upon you. And I want to say to all the Muslims, believing people, the Muslims, I want to say Eid Mubarak, Eid Mubarak. This is saying that we hope you have a blessed celebration, which is coming up this Wednesday. We will be celebrating our Eid al-Adha. This is the celebration of the pilgrims right now are in Mecca. And we know that on the day of Arafat, the day that they go to the vicinity of Arafat, making the prayers and asking God for forgiveness and mercy and so forth, that we will be fasting on that day, inshallah, God willing. That would be Tuesday. That would be Tuesday. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, have told us that whoever fasts on the day of Arafat, Almighty God will forgive last year's sins and the previous year to come. These are minor sins. So we ask that Almighty God help us to be able to fast this coming Tuesday. And then Wednesday we have our celebration. And this is where the Eid. Eid means something that returns. Eid means something that returns. Muslims have two celebrations a year, two holidays a year, two celebrations a year. One is Eid al-Fitr, meaning that we have a big celebration after we fast for a month in the month of Ramadan. And then the other celebration that we have is coming up this Wednesday. It's Eid al-Adha, and this is commemorating the great sacrifice that Prophet Abraham, peace and blessing be upon him, had with his son Ismail, when Almighty God gave him the commandment to slaughter him. And God, we all know the story of Abraham, where God Almighty told him, "Oh Abraham, you have fulfilled the commandment," and then replaced his son with a ram. And then the pilgrims are in Mecca. Over almost 2 million or more Muslims are there today from all around the world. A beautiful scene. You know, people say it's like a reenactment of the Day of Judgment. All colors are represented there. All people around the world are there. And why are they there? To seek forgiveness and mercy of God. It is the pilgrimage. It even is mentioned in the Bible as Becca. They spell it Becca in the Bible. I mention it as Becca, B-E-K-K-A, which is Mecca that we know today. The spring that the Bible is speaking about that's coming up in the desert of Becca, that spring is still flowing and it's called Zamzam. And so if you go there today, you can still drink the water when Abraham and his son Ishmael raised the foundation of that black cube that you see on TV, where so many millions of people are going around the cube and they're asking for God for forgiveness. It's a symbol of unity. It's a symbol of unity. It's one of the pillars of Islam that if you're able, you have the wealth and the health, you should make that trip. I mean, it's going to broaden your mind. It's going to make you show, you know, you are small. We are a small part of humanity. When you're in the crowd of over 2 million and something people from every race around the world, it's going to show you the beauty of the universality of God's religion. God's religion is not segregated. God's religion is not racist. God's religion is for every human being, and that's what the Hajj, that's what you're going to see in Mecca when you go there. And that's why we are encouraged to make that trip, because Islam removes racism and arrogance, and it replaces it with piety and sacrifice and commitment. So this is the area that we're in right now. We're in the month of Dhul Hijjah, where the Hajj is being made. And so we, the ones who are not there, are able to go back here at home. We have the big celebration. This year, our celebration will be downtown at our own facility at 1410 Cemetery Avenue, and the prayer will begin at 8:30 a.m. There will be refreshments next door. We're asking everyone, you know, bring a dish to share. It's not going to be no hardcore food at 8 a.m. in the morning, but we always have, you know, a lot of refreshments, coffee, you know, some sweets and things like that, just celebrating the great commemoration of Prophet Abraham, peace and blessing be upon him, his son Ismail, Hajar, his wife, all of the sacrifices and the commitments they made that people are enjoying today. So we're asking you to come out. On Gumball Road, it's very crowded out there. We're hoping that this year, by us having our own prayer at our own facility, maybe to take some of the relief from the mosque on Gumball Road, because they have so many people, they have two services. They have to have two services because it's so many people. So this year downtown, 1410 Cemetery Avenue, we will be having our own Eid prayer. Also, before in the announcements, all of our classes next week are going to be canceled because of the celebration we're going to have. This celebration is 3 days, and we should be eating and drinking and visiting our families during this celebration. That's what it is. Eid Mubarak. May you have a blessed celebration. So for 3 days, when the Eid begins, 3 days, we will be eating, drinking, visiting our families, and trying to do the best deeds that we can, and just reminiscing and remembering Almighty God. But before Wednesday, it is reported that we should be praising God even more than what we usually do, doing good deeds, because the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said there are no days better than the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah to do good deeds and that are accepted by Almighty God than the first 10 days of this month of Dhul Hijjah. So try to do as many good deeds as you can, asking God for forgiveness, for mercy. If you have relatives that are in need, your parents are living, go visit them. Be kind to them. Be good to your neighbors. Any good deed that you can do, try to do it, especially during these 10 days. This is something that we try to do every day. But there are special days, and there are special nights, and there are special weeks, and there are special months in the religion of Islam. So when those times come, we want to tighten our belt, and we want to be extremely more active and to create more good deeds. They call hasanats, to create more good deeds for us during these special days. So we ask that Almighty God give us the tawfiq, meaning the ability to do these good deeds, to ask for his forgiveness. And what is all of this for? So that we can enter paradise one day, inshallah, God willing. That is the goal. That is the goal, to enter paradise one day, to be saved from the fire. And the only way you can do that is to put forth an effort in this life to obey God, listen and obey God, fulfill the commandments that he has placed upon us, and live out this life to the best of your ability, sacrificing, giving up the things that God has told us to stay away from, and trying to run toward those things that he has said is permissible for us, and to do as much as we can. And if we do that, Almighty God says, then forgiveness is ours through his hand, and mercy is ours through his hand. And Almighty God says in the Quran, Maliki Yawmiddin, that he is the master of the day of judgment, and he alone will decide and choose who will go to the paradise and who will go to the hellfire. And we ask Almighty God to save us from the hellfire. Other than that, for my announcements today, if anyone like any Islamic material from us, any CD or whatever it is, it's 100% free. My number is 706-459-1010. I will say also that the public is welcome to come, excuse me, for our celebration. Bring your family members. Many of us who have Christian relatives, bring them if they are available at 8 in the morning. Bring them and let them see the celebration, hear the words of Almighty God, and have some refreshments for us, and enjoy yourself with your family. That's what the religion is all about. It is about life and trying to save ourselves from the fire. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will get into the topic for today.
You are listening to the Understanding Islam Show, sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. The Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is a nonprofit organization established since 1995. The purpose of the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation is to provide accurate information about the religion of Islam from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. Peace and blessings be upon him. The Understanding Islam radio show is hosted by Hamad El Amin and airs every Sunday in Chattanooga, Tennessee and Dalton, Georgia. The Understanding Islam radio show also gives businesses and individuals an opportunity to provide beneficial information to our community by appearing on the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor radio show, also sponsored by the Understanding Islam Dawah Foundation. If you would like a Quran, a copy of a radio show, or any Islamic literature, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. They ship all of their materials to you free of charge. If you would like to attend one of their classes, which are for Muslims and non-Muslims, call 706-459-1010 or email them at understandingislam411@gmail.com. For additional information, visit their website at www.uidf.org. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam radio show. Now back to your host, Hamad El Amin.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We pray that everyone is doing well today, and we thank Almighty God for allowing us to be here, to be conscious of Him, to be appreciative of all of the favors that He has bestowed upon us. What I want to cover today is one of the most essential parts of our religion, and that is prayer or supplication. You know, if people ask sometimes, how do God communicate with us? Well, God doesn't communicate with us like talking to us and revealing things like He did to the prophets of old and so forth and so forth. Many people say God speak to them directly. They have conversations with God and so forth. Well, in Islam, we don't believe that. We believe that there are certain ways that God communicates to human beings. And one of the ways He communicates to us is through His revelation. This is the main way that He communicates with the human being whom He has created. He communicate with us through His revelation. Now, are we inspired to do some things through the revelation He has sent to us? And no doubt. But God doesn't have conversations with people like some people profess that He does. Because in our religion, God said He doesn't speak to people this way. Sometimes He say He speak to people, you know, behind a curtain, meaning through a very secure type of way. Although we have inspirations and desires and different things like that that God inspires us to do. But communicating, giving us guidance, this guidance is coming to us in two ways. Through the revelation of Almighty God and through the prophets that He has sent to us to guide us and show us how to implement the revelation that He sends to all human beings. So the way we communicate with Almighty God is through our prayer. He communicates to us through His revelation. We communicate with Him through our prayer. And I wanted to read a prayer today and unpack it, go over verse by verse, because it's very impactful. One of the main reasons why God sends prophets and messengers in this world to us is to show us how to worship God. We don't know how to. If we didn't have messengers and prophets that have come through the annals of time, the human being wouldn't know how to properly worship Almighty God. And my proof is people today worship trees. Some people worship fire. Some people worship the stars and the moons. Many people worship many things. So that is why God Almighty, when He sent a revelation, He sent along with it a prophet or a messenger, a human being, to show us how to implement those revelations into our lives, how to properly worship Almighty God. That was their main mission, how to worship God in the correct manner. And it's not a thousand ways that the human being should worship God. There is one way that we should worship God. There's one way that we should worship Almighty God, not associating any partners with Him, not saying that He is a part of this creation, and so forth. I don't want to get too long into that because I want to cover the prayer that I want to present today. And it is a beautiful supplication that the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, made for us to repeat it. And this is the main source for us in our religion to make dua, to make the supplication to Almighty God. This is showing the humility of the human being. When a human being acknowledges that there is a God and that we have needs and that we are weak and we don't have power over ourselves, but the one who has created us has power over everything, we should raise our hands or go somewhere where it's quiet. And then with our own words, pray to Almighty God and ask him for what we want, ask him for what we need, and praise him through our supplications. This is the power for the believers. The power for the believers is the prayer. So this prayer right here is made by Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. And just listen to the beauty and the knowledge of this supplication that we try to emulate and say in our daily activities of worshiping God. He start off by saying, "O God, by your knowledge of the unseen and your power over creation, keep me alive as long as life is better for me. And let me die if death is better for me. O God, I ask you for fear of you in private and in public. I ask you for the word of truth in anger and in pleasure. I ask you for moderation in poverty and in wealth. I ask for everlasting bliss that never ends. I ask you for the comfort of my eyes that never ceases. I ask you for the contentment after your decree. I ask you for the coolness of life after death. I ask you for the delight of gazing upon your face and longing to meet you without harmful hardship or misleading trials. O God, adore us with the beauty of faith and make us guides who are rightly guided." That is a beautiful prayer. Every statement in this prayer, it impacts our life. There's a lecture behind every statement in this prayer. So let's go over this prayer because there are lessons in it for all of us. You notice the first statement that is made in this prayer, it says, "O God, by your knowledge of the unseen and your power over creation." This prayer begins by recognizing that Almighty God, he has complete knowledge and absolute control over everything. See, this is how you start off with a prayer. You don't start off with a prayer just asking for things. You got to start your prayer off praising God, giving him his credit, giving him his due. Then later you ask for what you want. So this prayer starts off by recognizing that Almighty God has all knowledge and he has absolute control. Absolute. No one else has it. And we do not know what is best for us. Now we are admitting that, "Oh God, we don't know what's best for us. You created us. You are the only one who knows what is best for us." This is what God is saying. So in the Quran, Almighty God says in the Quran, in the 6th chapter, the 59th verse, God says, "And with him are the keys of the unseen. None knows them except him." So he's letting us know that no one knows the future except him. He knows our beginning. He knows our end. And that is one of the reasons we are saying in our prayer that you have all the knowledge. And in the Quran again, Almighty God says in the 2nd chapter, the 20th verse, "Indeed, God is over all things competent." So right away in this prayer, we're giving God the credit that's due to him. He do more than that. But this is the slave calling out to the master. And if you're going to be a slave in this life, I know people say slavery, slave, being called a slave has a a negative connotation to it because of the history and everything we've gone through. But many people are slaves without knowing it. People are slaves to money. People are slaves to knowledge. People are slaves to sex. People are slaves to many things. If you're going to be a slave in this life, be a slave to Almighty God, the one who created you. And that's being a slave basically means that when he orders you to do something, you do it. You say, yes, master. There's nothing wrong with saying yes, master, because he is the master. He is the Lord of all the worlds. And he's never going to guide you wrong. He's the one feeding us every day, keeping us alive every day, giving us our resources, keeping our heart functioning. So what's wrong with calling him the master? He is the master. He is the creator. He is the Lord of all the worlds. So this first verse, a first statement that Almighty God has all the knowledge. He knows the unseen and he has power of creation. It is a believer finding peace by surrendering our outcome. Whatever the outcome is, we are surrendering our outcome to Almighty God instead of us trying to control everything. That's when things go wrong in life, is when the human being think that they control something in this world. We don't control anything in this world. Everything is in God's hand. We don't control anything. And as soon as we start believing that God controls everything, our life will fall in order. We will begin to get contentment in our lives. So let's look at number two in this prayer. It says, keep me alive as long as life is better for me. And let me die if death is better for me. So in Islam, we do not fear death blindly. And we don't cling or try to hold on to life blindly. The goal in this life is to come closer to God through our worship. We don't come to God as a friend. God says you can't come to him as an associate, but you have to come to God as a servant. So our goal in this life is not to just live blindly in this life and fear death, or live blindly in this life and try to stay in this world forever. No, our goal is to come closer to God. And that's why we're saying, keep me alive as long as life is better for me. If I am reaping the reward, if I am gaining favors from Almighty God, if I'm worshiping him in a proper way, keep me alive as long as that is good for me. And let me die when it is better for me. When a person dies in this life, their book is closed. They're not gaining any more sin, and they are not gaining any more good deeds. Their book is closed. So the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, he said, none of you should wish for death because of a calamity comes into your life. If something tragic comes into our life, we shouldn't wish for death. Suicide is illegal. It's prohibited in Islam. Killing yourself is prohibited in Islam. In any way or any fashion, taking your own life is prohibited in Islam. And that's why the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, none of you should wish for death because of a tragedy. But say, oh God, keep me alive as long as life is better for me. And cause me to die if death is better for me. So when you see people, bedridden and they're suffering, we don't wish for death for those people. And we don't believe that you should wish for death or try to kill yourself, because we believe that suffering eradicates sin. So a person who's suffering and may suffer for years because they're sick, we believe that God is maybe cleaning this person up before God take them out of this world. So every time we suffer, every pain we have, every sickness we have, it is removing sin. That's right. We believe that pain and suffering and things like this, it removes sin. Not that we welcome this sin, not that we welcome pain and suffering in our lives. But understanding that pain and suffering can eradicate sin out of your life, it puts that type of preservation to live as a believer. We're not wishing for death. And that's why the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, keep me alive as long as it is better for me, and cause me to die when death is better for me. And there's a verse in the Quran in the third chapter, the 185th verse, where God says, every soul shall taste death. Every soul. And I don't think anyone is going to argue with that, because there's no one that have stayed upon this earth without tasting death. So God says everyone will taste death. It is the number one equalizer. It doesn't care who you are, what color you are, your financial statement. Death will approach you at some time or another in your life. Number three in this prayer, it mentions, I ask you for fear of you in private and in public. Now just look at the wisdom behind that. This is dealing with God consciousness. I ask you for fear, not just in public, but also private. A lot of people show that they fear God in public. It's called showing off. A lot of people in public try to present themselves as righteous. You know, they don't curse around other people in public. You know, they don't do other things that God has forbidden in public. You know, they try to show one side of righteousness in public. But look at the beauty of this prayer. This prayer is asking God to let me fear you in private. Private is more important than public. Obeying God in private is better for you than obeying him in public. Because when you in private, in your home or wherever you are, and there's no one around, can you still be God-fearing when no eyes are on you? And you on your phone or on your computer or with your friends or your best friends, and there's no one's watching, can you still have that type of fear? Can you still have that nice language? Can you still show modesty when you are alone in private? Most people don't. Most people don't. They have two sides. They have a private side and they have a public side of their life. They have a private life and they have a public life. So this prayer is saying, let me have the same fear for you and God in private like I do in public. And this is 100% person here, because those who fear their Lord unseen, this is what God says in the Quran, those who fear their Lord unseen will have forgiveness and a great reward. So this is how we fear God. It's called God consciousness. We say taqwa. Obeying God when people see you and when no one sees you. And this is what it takes strength and faith to do. When you have an opportunity to do something prohibited, but yet your heart desires it. Your heart is desiring to do this thing. And the opportunity is there for you to do it. And number three, there's no one around you to see if you do it or not. Can you still stay away from the thing that your heart is desiring? Can you obey God at this moment? That's the question. That's the fear. Can you obey God at this moment when you know you have a desire for it? It's there in front of you and there's no one around. So we ask Almighty God to let me fear you in private and in public. The prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, it is reported that he said about one of the seven people that will be shaded on the day of judgment when there is no shade except the shade of God. He said, a man who remembers God in private and his eyes overflow with tears. See, this is a great achievement that you are in private and you're crying because you remember God. You remember his favors. You're just thinking about all the favors that he's bestowed upon. Yeah, it's easy for you, for people. I've seen people when I was in the church, every Sunday they're going to show out. Usually the same ones in front of people. You know, shouting and saying different things and just going on and on and on. But is that the test? Can you do that in private when no one is around? Are you that religious? Do you have that much faith when no eyes are on you? No, most people don't. That's why the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, a person will be shaded by God's shade on the day of judgment who in their own private moment, when nobody is watching them, they become emotional thinking about God. See, that's true faith, because you're not showing off. You got a lot of people today show off how well they can dance. You know, they have these, forget what they call these dances now they having all over the place, and saying that they are worshipers of God, these dances and steps and stomps they're doing all over the place. I mean, who can't do that? Showing off. No, can you get serious and shed a tear for Almighty God in private, just thinking of what He has blessed you with in this life, or just thinking that how much you love Him, you begin to cry in private? That's true faith. So your real relationship with Almighty God is revealed when no one is watching. See, that's a beautiful part of this prayer. Number four, it says, I ask you for the word of truth in anger and in pleasure. Truth is something that people sometimes take for granted. We should speak the truth whether we are emotional or comfortable. We should speak the truth either if we are angry or we are happy. We should speak the truth. God says in the Quran, in the 6th chapter, 152nd verse, and when you speak, be just, even if it concerns a close relative. This is what God says. Speak the truth, even if it is against your own parents. You have to speak the truth. And this is what the prayer is for. Oh God, let me speak the word of truth in anger or in pleasure. Do most people do that today? No, they do not. No, they do not. Some people they are professional liars today. They lie. They don't have any type of recourse behind it. They're not going to gain anything for it. They don't feel bad about it. They just lie to be lying. They're not even going to get in trouble if they tell the truth, but they're going to be deceptive anyway. No. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, said, whoever believes in God and the last day shall speak the truth or remain silent. So Islam emphasizes on speaking the truth. To speak the truth, whether it is good for you or bad for you, you have to speak the truth. So in this prayer, I ask you for the word of truth in anger and in pleasure. And whoever believes in God should be a truthful person. So truthfulness is a test for us when emotions are strong. You know how many people's lives have been destroyed today because someone couldn't tell the truth? Someone lied on them. For whatever reason, they lied on them, and many people are incarcerated today behind it. Some people have lost their lives behind it for lying. So truthfulness is a part of your character. Truthfulness shows who you are. Truthfulness is a test of your will when it comes down to either the consequences behind the truth or a lie. So this is a part of this prayer that we ask Almighty God to let us always speak the truth. Let us be known as the truthful one. This is a nickname that they gave the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, even before he was a prophet of Almighty God. They said they called him El Amin, the upright, the honest one, because he told people the truth. People came to him to settle their disputes. So they called him El Amin, the honest, the truthful one. So these names and this aspect of truth is something that all of us could improve. Number five, it says, and I ask you for moderation in poverty and in wealth. Now, what does this mean? It means that we should strike a balance between poverty and wealth with moderation. Wealth should not lead us to arrogance. You see, money should not make us be arrogant in this life. in which it does for many people. And poverty should not put us in a position where we're in despair, where we feel that because we don't have money or we don't have sometimes enough to fulfill our obligations, to pay our bills, to buy grocery, to get gas, we shouldn't let that type of poverty put us in a despair or to begin to question God, why me? You see, this is how the devil seeps in and start exploiting the minds of people. I pray to you. I give my money in charity. I try to do the best I can, and I can't even pay my bills. You're not even answering my prayer. See, this is poverty putting a person in despair to make them say words of disbelief. And see, this is what the prayer is saying. I ask you for moderation. Let me be moderate if I'm poor. Let me be moderate in my character. Let me be moderate in my lifestyle, in my poverty. And let me wear my poverty well. If you're giving me wealth, don't let me become arrogant in my wealth. Well, I feel that I have so much wealth now that I feel independent of you. See, this is what the prayer is basically seeking refuge in God, that I have wealth, so don't let me become arrogant and feel that I have no need of you now. Because a true believer, that regardless of how much wealth they have, they know that wealth really belongs to Almighty God. God has just given you the wealth as a trust. It's a test for you. The wealthy person is tested with his wealth. Can you still be obedient to God with your wealth? Can you still feel needed and a needy person to God with your wealth? Can you share your wealth? Can you be charitable with your wealth? Can you still recognize that you are dependent upon God even though you have millions of dollars? See, this is the rich man's test. And the poor man's test is, you don't have the things of this world. Can you still pray to God? Can you still be committed? Can you still sacrifice? Will you still pray? Will you still see yourself as a servant of Almighty God? This is the poor man's test. So the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, he's asking God, I want moderation in both aspects, in poverty and in wealth. And God says in the Quran, and those who, when they spend, are neither extravagant nor miserly, but hold a medium way. Beautiful. And those who, when they spend their money, they are neither extravagant. You know, people waste money on so much things today because the soul is never satisfied. The more you feed it, the more it wants. That's being extravagant. Buying things that you don't need. That's extravagant. Buying more than you need. Nor miserly. Don't let me become stingy. You know, close-handed. Well, I don't give. I don't give charity. But Allah tells us in the Quran to find a medium way in between that. And the only way a wealthy person or a poor person are going to be moderate in their poverty or their wealth is to become close to Almighty God and remembering Him. Remembering God will always cause you to do the right thing. And the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, it is reported that he said, richness is not having many possessions. Rather, true richness is the richness of the soul. Meaning that you have contentment of the soul. The soul is satisfied. It doesn't need a lot of wealth. It's satisfied and it's being fed by the remembrance of Almighty God. You know, just thanking God. Alhamdulillah. All praise be to Almighty God. Subhanallah. Glory be to Almighty God. La ilaha illallah. There's only one God. See, this is what we should be saying all the time. This feeds the soul the nutrition that it needs in order for us to become close to Him. Number 6, it says, I ask you for everlasting bliss that never ends. Worldly pleasures ends. Eventually it ends. Paradise is the only permanent happiness that the human being will experience. Everything else is temporary. worldly pleasures will eventually fade away. That everything you love in this life is going to be destroyed. It's going to deteriorate eventually. If you outlive your money, then you're going to die. If you don't outlive your money, you can lose your money. So everything in this life is temporary. The only thing that is permanent is the paradise or the hellfire. Those are the only two things that will always be perpetual, always be everlasting, either paradise or hellfire. God says in the Quran, in the 6th chapter, the 32nd verse, this worldly life is only amusement and diversions. The home of the hereafter is best for those who fear God. God is telling you right there, this worldly life is only for amusement and diversions. Everything that we see is not real. Eventually, it's going to fade away. It's a temporary pleasure. It's a test for us. But the home of the hereafter, God says, is best for those who fear God. So don't live your life thinking that the extent of everything, the totality of life, is just what we see and hear and feel and experience in this world. This world is no more than an examination. There's another world out there that we're going to enter. Just like we entered into this world, we're going to enter into another world where the currency is not going to be dollar bills and gold and silver and all of these other currencies of the world. The currency on that day will be how you have obeyed or disobeyed Almighty God. If you were a person who lived your life trying to obey God, to be obedient to him, that is a beautiful currency to have. Mercy, God will extend his mercy and pleasure to you. That's what we're living for. But if you're a person who was defiant, rejected God, just live any life that you wanted to live. Whatever you wanted to do, you live based on your desires, then that type of currency is no good. And the permanency, the permanent home for a person that lived a life like this, we are told, is the fire. And the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, Allah will say to the people of paradise, I will never be angry with you after this. This is the everlasting bliss if you make it to paradise. God will never be upset with you again. God would never be angry with you again. Everything will be of good pleasure if we enter into paradise. Number 7, in the prayer it says, I ask you for the comfort of my eyes that never cease. Real enjoyment is spiritual, not material. And that's something that people who think religion is just a cult or a pastime, they don't even understand. They don't see how a person can actually be happy just being a spiritual person, just believing the God that created us, that we're going to return to him one day, and that people in this world actually get pleasure out of obeying God. People really think that is that's weird and fascinating. They said, how can you have this type of happiness just obeying something you can't even see? How can you have good feelings and aspirations and desires and goal settings in your life where you're smiling and you're contentment over an entity you can't even see? See, they don't understand it. It's like two worlds, two separate worlds. On their side, in their world, they believe you need something materialistic to have this type of happiness and contentment. They have to have money. They have to have women or men. They have to have the things of this world. Maybe it's alcohol or people get high. They do all of these things to try to encapsulate this type of pleasure that they see in the people in the other world who spiritually have this same type of happiness and contentment without getting involved in drugs, alcohol, or trying to accumulate wealth or being, you know, overexposed to men and women. It's just two separate worlds. And so when they enter the world that you're in sometime, and they enter that world, they're like aliens. They don't understand it. They saying like, my God, is this what you all do? Pray all day? fast, always talking about God. No. See, they're entering a world they don't even understand the language of this world. They don't understand nothing about it. You know, it's weird for them. So many of them are back out. They come back out of that world. The only time they will enter that spiritual world of these spiritual people who are getting happy and contentment with Almighty God, just believing in Him, the only time they will enter that world, come in your world, is when they need something. They're going to enter that world with this type of greeting. You know, we greet each other like, Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam, peace be upon you. This is the ones in this spiritual type of atmosphere. This is how we greet each other, with peace and happiness. Now, when these other people, the materialistic people in their materialistic world, when they enter into this type of spiritual world, their greeting is, can I have? Will you give me? Can you loan me? That's the only time they're going to want to enter this world. Other than that, they look at you as a weird type of people until they need something from you. You see? Now, the spiritual people, we don't hardly try to enter their world. Their world is toxic. It's dangerous. And if we do try to enter their world or come have contact with them, we're trying to invite them out of that situation. Show them our world. Show them a world of goodness and wholesomeness and moderation and modesty. We're calling them to that, and that's our obligation to do that. But it's two different worlds. And that's why the comfort of our eyes, we asked Allah to never let that cease by understanding that our world of spirituality, it gives us this great high in life. That it gives us hope. It gives us hope that an understanding and a clarity that this is not our world. God has given us this world to use as a means to come back home to Him in inner paradise. So number 8, try to finish here real quick. Number 8, it says, I ask you for contentment after your decree. And this is very important, because contentment is higher than patience. Contentment, being content, is higher than just having patience. Patience means you are enduring a hardship. That's why Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said, don't pray for patience. Because patience meaning that you're going through a hardship. You asking God for a hardship, and you're not in a hardship, but you're asking God, oh God, give me patience. Patience means that you're going through something traumatic or a hardship in this life. So patience is enduring something, but contentment is accepting Almighty God's wisdom. That's what contentment is. That whatever He has put into our life, we accept it. That's going to give you contentment. So that's why we ask you for contentment of your decree. Whatever you have decreed for us, we're going to accept it. I mean, if it's poverty, if it's some type of tragedy, if it's something that we want, but you know we shouldn't, it's not better for us to have it, we're going to accept it. If we pray for something that we don't get, we're going to accept it, because we understand your decree. So Almighty God says in the Quran, in the second chapter, the 216th verse, perhaps you hate a thing while it is good for you. See, you may dislike something, but it may be good for you. And you may love something that is bad for you. Who knows except God? So that's why God, when you pray for something and you don't get it, you should say, thank you, God, because you know my future. And you know what I was praying for was not good for me. And you should say, Alhamdulillah, all praises Almighty God. The Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said in a statement, amazing is the affair of the believer. If hardship comes to him, he is patient, and that is good for him. So we try to understand, and this is very, very critical in our life, to accept what God has given you in this life. When you've tried everything you could to try to change something in your life and you see it's not going to change, you've tried every method, every avenue, you've used everything to try to change a certain situation in your life, understand that it is decree of Allah, the decree of Almighty God, if you can't change it. If you can't change it, know that it is the decree of Allah. If you become ill and you've done everything to be healthy and now you're sick and ill, know that God has already decreed that for you. So accept it until he remove it from you. That is part of accepting the decree of Almighty God. Number 9, I ask you for the coolness of life after death, meaning that the grave and the hereafter are the real beginning of the next life. So we ask for the coolness after death. And God says in the Quran in the 15th chapter, the 45th verse, the righteous will be amid gardens and springs. This is what we ask God for, to give us the garden, give us the springs and all of the other beautiful things that you have mentioned in your revelation. We're asking for those things. And the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, the grave is either a garden from the gardens of paradise or a pit from the pits of hell. So that's why in this prayer, this supplication, we say, I ask you for the coolness of life after death, because after death is the real life. This is a superficial life we're living today. There's nothing real, believe me. It's nothing permanent in this world. Name something that's permanent in this world. Name it. Think about it. Eventually, everything will be destroyed. The only permanency that we're going to have is with our Lord in the hereafter. So the prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said the grave, it's not even permanent, because God is going to resurrect us out of the grave one day. Then you're going to go to your permanent resident. You're going to go, and there's no Section 8 in the hellfire or paradise. It's going to be some equality that day. So the grave is either a garden from the gardens of paradise or a pit from the pit of hell. So we should prepare ourselves for what God has in store for us. Number 10, I ask you for the delight of gazing upon your face and longing to meet you. And we're told that one of the greatest rewards that a person will receive in paradise is not all of the beautiful things that God has created for us in paradise, but one of the greatest gifts you will see, that you will see God himself. We can't see God in this life, but on the day of judgment, you will be able to see God. God says in the Quran, faces that day will be radiant looking at their Lord. So this is the proof. You will see him on the day of judgment. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, said that you will see your Lord as you see the full moon at night. This is one of the greatest gifts that the believers will be able to enjoy, is to see the one we've worshiped for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. We'll be able to actually see him. Number 11. Without harmful hardship or misleading trials. This is the supplication. Trials can either elevate us or they can destroy us. This is what the trials are for. We ask Almighty God to protect us from tests that misguides us. So many times God will send a trial into your life to bring you closer to him. You know, you may be swimming a little too far out, and God may bring a little tragedy and just give you a little touch. Just touch you up with a little trial, touch you up with a little sickness to let you know, hey, come back to me. You're going too far out there. So God says in the Quran, O Lord, do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us. This is a supplication that we all make. Do not let our hearts deviate after you have guided us. And the prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, he would frequently make these type of prayers to ask God, since you've guided me, protect me from being misguided. Number 12, and this is the last one here. We say, O God, adore us with the beauty of faith and make us gods who are rightly guided. Faith should really beautify our character. For having faith in God should beautify our actions. It should beautify our speech. And believers should guide each other by our example. Anything that is beautiful and good for us is going to beautify it in life. And anything that is ugly or against God's will is going to distort it. It's going to disfigure it in life. So we ask that Almighty God keep our hearts on a path that beautifies whatever we touch. Almighty God says in the Quran, but God has endeared faith to you and beautified in your hearts. And the Prophet, peace and blessed be upon him, said that the best people are those who are beneficial to other people. So just to recap this beautiful prayer that I just went over, it says, O God, by your knowledge of the unseen and your power over creation, keep me alive as long as life is better for me. And let me die if death is better for me. O God, I ask you for fear of you in private and in public. I ask you for the word of truth in anger and in pleasure. I ask you for moderation in poverty and in wealth. I ask you for everlasting bliss that never ends. I ask you for the comfort of my eyes that never cease. I ask you for contentment after your decree. I ask you for the coolness of life after death. I ask you for the delight of gazing upon your face and longing to meet you without harmful hardship or misleading trial. O God, adore us with the beauty of faith and make us guides who are rightly guided. And we ask that Almighty God give us this type of answer in our life. And we ask that Almighty God protect us and let us internalize this beautiful message. And we ask him to keep us on a righteous path, to keep us fearing him, to keep us obeying him, and to make us of the best of human beings. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabanna. O Allah, give us good in this life and good in the hereafter, and save us from the hellfire. Until next week, I leave you with the greetings of peace. Of assalamu alaikum rahmatullah.
You have been listening to the Understanding Islam Show. If you would like a free Quran, a copy of this broadcast, or any Islamic literature, please call 706-459-1010 or email us at understandingislam411@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to the Understanding Islam Show.